Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. It is a primary day in the great state of Wyoming. That's Liz Cheney territory.
It used to be Cheney territory. Now it's Megaland.
We find ourselves oddly rooting for Liz Cheney. Also, we've had a lot of conversation today about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and what an inadequate representative of our state he makes. And, you know, he's great if you're a billionaire. He's all down for you if you're a pharmaceutical giant. But if you're a Medicare recipient, he'd really like to revisit your coverage each and every year. And above and beyond that, he doesn't want you negotiating with those poor, big pharmaceutical companies.
Well, if you do so, how are they ever going to find the money to scrape up for a little bit of R&D? So, you know, hate to see all that R&D go away.
You know, because someone's got to research the ivermectin and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Lots of ivermectin use. Well, Dominic, you know, many of these crazy loon ball candidates, well, they're Trump endorsed, of course. And I want to take you there. Jennifer Rubin does as well at the Washington Post. She's got a little opinion piece. The GOP is paying the price for Trump's loopy, she calls them, Senate candidates.
That's a nice way to put it.
Loopy. Thanks to defeated former President Donald Trump, Republicans have nominated a host of unqualified, extreme, and loopy Senate candidates for the midterms. The party is now paying the price. The New York Times reports on the latest indication that the party is facing fundraising woes. You don't say. The National Republican Senatorial Committee has cut more than $5 million in Pennsylvania, including its reservations in the Philly media market, according to two media tracking sources. It also cut more than $2 million in Wisconsin. No wonder why Rojo needs the widow Hendrix to throw a little fundraiser for him, Tom. He's down $2 million in spending and about $2 million in the biggest media markets in Arizona. The candidates in each of these states, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Rojo in Wisconsin, and Blake Masters in Arizona, are all Trump favorites. Johnson, Rojo, seems to have never met a MAGA conspiracy theory didn't like. Masters is a flat-out election denier and a crank, and Oz, a multimillionaire known for hawking snake oil medical cures, unsurprisingly turned out to be a rotten candidate who has been mocked as a carpetbagger for his ties to Jersey. Republicans have yet to cut spending on other weak candidates. In Ohio, for example, the party continues to boost J.D. Vance, even though his campaign is struggling. And Vance's recent suggestion that women in violent marriages should not seek a divorce, well, that's not helping his cause. Republicans who haven't diverted funds from Herschel Walker in Georgia, although he might be one of the worst Senate candidates this cycle. Now, he's going up against Raphael Warnock, right?
Yes.
Vance in Ohio is going up against Congressman Tim Ryan. Ron Johnson, of course, in Wisconsin, going up against Mandela Barnes. Dr. Oz going up against Fetterman. That's a little contrast in hairstyle, if nothing else. So anyways, back to Herschel Walker, one of the worst Senate candidates this cycle, thanks to his nonstop stream of fabrications, cringe-inducing incoherence. I'm just occasionally cringe-inducing, Dom. And radical positions, such as his support for a nationwide abortion ban, without any exceptions.
Crudy, some of these candidates might still prevail given the Democratic and partisan balance of their states, but Senate races and other statewide races, such as for governor, attorney general, and secretary of state, pose key tests for the mega-conquered GOP, since Trump's blend of delusion and narcissism might not work outside the right-wing media bubble and deep red states. That's a problem in the swing states of Arizona, Michigan, and Nevada, where a bunch of election deniers are running. Sure, Trump's lapdog may be able to win in low turnout primaries in a heavily gerrymandered districts, but general elections with healthy turnout could be Trump's Achilles heel. Perhaps that explains why the GOP is attempting to reduce turnout and stack the offices of state election administrators with mega cultists. It's tough for the party to win when democracy is thriving. Oh, damn, Ruben.
I know that one stings a little, doesn't it?
A little bit, man. Not coincidentally, as Republicans are cutting advertising in states with mega election deniers, the nonprofit arm of the Republican Accountability Project is launching a $10 million ad buy in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, seeking to peel traditional Republicans away from Trump acolytes. The group's ads use clips of Rep. Liz Cheney during the White House, during the House January 6th Select Committee hearing, and testimonials from Republicans disgusted with the mega crowd's disrespect for the rule of law.
Defund the FBI!
Where Republicans sense they might be wasting money on losers, RAP is putting its foot on the gas. Both sides seem to agree which candidates are the GOP's weakest links. Just as Trump's obsession with the big lie of a stolen election arguably cost Republicans two critical Senate seats in Georgia, it would be fitting if Trump's mega endorsements once more kept Senator Mitch McConnell from regaining the majority leader title. The Kentucky Republicans' inability to break with Trump once and for all, ergo refusing to vote to remove Trump during his impeachment trials, helping block a bipartisan January 6th commission, declining to condemn Trump's retention of highly classified documents, for example, might deprive McConnell of the thing he craves most: power. For the GOP as a whole, underwhelming performances in statewide races by handpicked Trump candidates would be a clear signal that Trumpism remains a minority faction dependent on anti-democratic rules such as gerrymandering and the filibuster. There's no certainty such results in November would impair Trump's chances of winning the nomination in 2024, given Republicans' fidelity to the former president over democracy and truth. But it would mean that refusing to cut Trump loose is a recipe for perpetual minority status, writes Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post.
I think that Donald Trump is crystallizing Democratic turnout. I mean, midterm elections prior to 2018, you know, midterms were always low turnout, 35 to 42%, something like that. Last time, 50% turnout. And I think as Donald Trump continues to insert himself into state races, into senatorial races, I think he's the best turnout mechanism the Democratic Party ever had. You know,
in some sense, again, but, you know, we also have still continued investigation going on with all the results of what Trump, the stink that he left on this country. But the Roe v. Wade decision is also going to drive turnout to a great degree. I think those two combinations, I think we'll continue to see higher than normal midterm turnout.
No, I would agree with you, Dom. Obviously, the overturning of Roe v. Wade is an extremely big deal. But I think that when Donald Trump presents himself and inserts himself upon the electorate, and people look back upon the chaos, even if he has supported the guy, he was still chaotic. He was still bad for the nation. He didn't bring us together. He tore us apart. So I think people are so sick of Donald Trump, right? You'd like to think that, but the Republicans, they're still enamored. They're still in love with this guy. So it's going to come down to the swing voters, as it always does. You know, those people that make up their mind on election day, you know, depending on the weather,
the coin flips. The National Party finds itself in they're cutting what spending. The National Republican Senatorial Committee cut more than $5 million in Pennsylvania, $2 million in Wisconsin, and $2 million in markets in Arizona.
That can't be a good sign for Boy Rojo.
And then you got the other side, this nonprofit arm of these Republicans who want to, you know, try what's this called, the Republican Accountability Project, launching their own $10 million ad buy in, you know, a half a dozen states, trying to peel back some whatever might be left of traditional quote-unquote GOP members, that is a party in disarray, and rightly so, man. I mean, you know, what's his name? He said it. Who's has to testify? Forgive me. The South Carolina boy. He's got to go testify.
Lindsey. I do declare.
Said it years ago. You know, if Trump gets elected, he's going to destroy this party. And that is exactly what we are seeing unfold before our eyes. Now, I would have liked to have seen it happen sooner. But, you know, looking back years from now, perhaps it will seem like it happened real quick. But living through it seems certainly a long slog. But the disarray of the national party, the Trump impact, the loons and the wackos. I mean, really? I mean, like Dr. Oz, I mean, Herschel Walker, like, pulled a gun on his wife or something, and then he's like, oh, give me an opportunity to talk about mental illness. That's a great segue, but no, dude, that's not okay, really? And this is a guy who they want to be a senator? It is really the... So many of these races are just the perfect contrast of governance and you know, decent human beings and total wackos. I mean, you know, everybody's flawed. I'm not suggesting that any of these other candidates that are running against Oz or Herschel Walker don't have a flaw in them. But man, compared to these people that Trump and the Republicans and the GOP are putting forward, man, it is a very big difference between those candidates.
You know what's strange to me is Republicans embrace black conservatives. Oh, they love them some Herschel Walker. Now, Herschel Walker, obviously, Heisman Trophy winner. He was a Georgia Bulldog. There's some home, you know, backyard cooking going on there. They think that that'd be good for him. You know, good because he has high name recognition in the state. And that's enough, right? Because he's a black conservative and they can support the guy. And he'll steal, what, black votes away from Warnock because that will be his opponent. So it's strange to me, you know, Diamond and Silk, that if you find a black that is supportive of Donald Trump, they just embrace that character. So look at Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Oh, they love that guy on Foxy News.
Yes, they certainly did.
They used to anyways. But why was David A. Clark Jr. not acceptable for the Trump administration? What is in his closet that makes him unacceptable for Trump? You think on that. Then come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're going to go hit the phones here in just a moment at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we were going to set a new phone rule called the CJ rule, were we not?
Yes, I've been thinking about how to you know, kind of want to engage some of the Trumpsters out there, yet you know, not let them just kind of, you know, crosstalk is not a good thing, right? So we got to have a conversation, and I think also beyond this normal conversation, a back and forth, we also need to be topical, right? I mean, if anything we discussed during the day, unless it's Fridays, you know, Fridays are grievances, so you can talk about any topic on Friday. But generally speaking, I think we should stay on topic for the day for the phone calls that we take from all callers, not just, you know, our crazy ass callers. I want to be consistent on that. Curdy, what do you think?
I concur, doctor.
Doctor.
Okay, CJ, here's your big chance. Don't blow it.
Welcome, CJ.
Well, as you were talking, the misnomer of the Inflation Reduction Act, you failed to mention the Congressional Budget Office, what they say the plan will do with that.
Reduce the deficit by about $100 billion per year was my understanding.
Nothing for the first 3 years. So not even while this president, and you don't want him to run again like most Democrats. because he's a failure, and 13 soldiers.
Man, he's succeeding. He's signing bills today.
In Afghanistan.
All right, see, now he's going off topic, but he did bring up the CBO score. And okay, I mean, these things are scored over a 10-year period, right? So you got whatever number they give you, you got to divide it by 10 years. And if that's the case, it's going to reduce the deficit over the course of 10 years, then that's the math, man. So whether or not it happens over the first or the tail, you know, it happens in the middle or it's the tail end and yada, yada, yada. I mean, you can break it down any way you want. The fact of the matter is the CBO has scored this, that it will, in fact, reduce the deficit. Now, above and beyond that, it's a good thing. Capping prescription drug costs for many, many drugs, most drugs perhaps, for seniors is a good thing. Why would anybody be against that? I mean, I get it, unless you think, well, we don't want nationalized health care. And I think, okay, that's a great idea. But what is it about not wanting nationalized health care? You want everyone to go out and shop the market and engage in free market capitalism to find their own health care plan. Then you embrace free market capitalism. But when it comes to, you know, using those same philosophies and negotiating with your suppliers, like most buyers do, on behalf of poor and elderly people, all of a sudden, now you got a problem with capitalism. So thank you for the call, CJ. Perhaps someday we'll get to the successful withdrawal of Afghanistan, ending a war that we were in for way too long.
Dominic, I want to be accurate here. According to the Congressional Budget Office, estimated budgetary effects of H.R. 5376, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It's now the law. Joe Biden signed it today. The CBO estimates that enacting this legislation would result in a net decrease in the deficit, totaling $102 billion over the 2022 to 2031 period. So it is a 10-year estimate.
So $10 billion a year on average.
Yes. I didn't mean to overconflate. You know, they're all very big numbers when you're just a working stiff, CJ. You know, God forbid the Democrats try to save money for the government, but it's not happening fast enough for your taste. What did the Trump tax cuts do for the government or for the country? I mean, I know what they did for Diane Hendricks, but what about the working stiffs?
The U-lines, we know about that, right?
You know, the tax cuts, the supposed tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, the infinitesimal tax cuts to the middle class, the working stiff. Do you recall what that was, CJ? Because most people didn't add up to Bubkiss. 844. But $215 million savings in 2018? I bet you the U-lines and Diane Hendricks and Ron Johnson, I bet they can enumerate what their savings was. 844-967-2789. Well, that went well. What a great experiment.
Yes,
let's keep limiting people to the conversations at hand.
It's only been like 12 years, man. We'll figure it out.
Fred from Cottage Grove. Welcome, Fred. What do you got for us?
Hey, Fred.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, CJ. You think Ron Johnson was on the phone to all of his billionaire donors and stuff? Hey, I just got cut $2 million from my campaign funds. And how many of these clowns do you think is going to show up in Milwaukee when the Republican convention comes up?
Oh, don't even get me started, man.
All yeah, clowns, exactly.
Man. I mean, every single one of them is going to be like the insane clown posse.
Are we talking about Rojo still when you talk about the clowns showing up? I don't think, Fred, that Ron Johnson specifically probably had to speak with individual donors. I mean, I don't think he had to call up Diane Hendricks to know that Diane Hendricks is a designated S Corp. And as such, with the huge, enormous profits that ABC Supply Corporation, and I don't begrudge her profitability. It just bugs the you-know-what out of me that she invests in buying politicians, and they sell so cheaply, Fred.
Oh, so cheap, Fred. I mean, if I were a politician, I would quadruple my price, man.
What a great investment, though. If you could buy a Ron Johnson for $6.5 million, and you can turn yourself a tax savings of $215 million, spread across two families.
Exactly. But,
you know, call it halfsies.
Exactly.
If you could save $100 million by investing $6.5 million, what a great investment you made in buying yourself a conscious lacking U.S. senator from Wisconsin and Ron Johnson. And you think the fact that Ron is rich. I mean, what was Herb Kohl saying? Nobody's senator but yours. Because if you're rich, acknowledge you're rich. But what Ron say? Oh, I only doubled my net worth. I should have quadrupled it. Yeah, I feel for you, sir. Yeah. I feel for you.
All right, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Right on.
Thanks,
Fred.
Thanks
for the call, man.
We're well on our way to having a spectacular afternoon when you call us at 844-967-2789. It's a political party, and it rolls on.
We're a very compassionate society, and government's role is to help people that can't help themselves or help.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, rolling through the happier happy hour. And we always appreciate when you participate at 844-967-2789. Dom, I'm going to welcome a few of our affiliates, KGOE Eureka, California, KTNF 950 AM up in Minneapolis. We got people listening a little bit later on WCPT 820 AM in Chicago. And of course, the mothership right here in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7, 1580 AM in Columbus, The Shaw 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM in Wausau, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids 97.5 and 1320 AM. And the sister station there, WIRI, Dom. But I pointed out the Nakusa country station that yours truly will be broadcasting high school football. We kick off the high school football season this Friday night. And we've never done that before. I'm very excited. I'm remembering.
Are you actually doing
it? Oh, yeah.
Go do some play-by-play, Crudy.
You know
back
it.
To your roots, man.
Coach called his own number.
Put some pads on, man. If someone gets hurt, you go take that ball.
So I will be doing play-by-play for the Nakusa Black River Falls football game on Friday night, the official kickoff of the season. In Waukesha, we got Don Brown doing the Waukesha South game. And up in Wausau, man, those guys, they hump up there. We got like three different games we're playing out across the network. So very, very excited about the high school football. Wisconsin Rapids, we got the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. They're in the playoffs right now, so we're awaiting the end of that season. We're very excited about that as well, Dom, and the kickoff of the Badger season, all kinds of fun stuff. So anyways, enjoy the fine sports entertainment. And if you've never heard Crudy do play-by-play on the radio, and that's pretty much all of you. No, I did play-by-play in college a little bit.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You're not play-by-play. You actually did play-by-play. Not
yes.
Just the show. What was your and Wuckel's show? What was the show called?
Sports Talk Live. What do you got for us? I still remember the caller that asked me about the bass fishing and crivets. And I was quite offended, you know. I took that little sports show quite seriously. And, you know, my co-host, a little better than you, Brad Runkle. Runkle fielded that one for me because I just sat there bitterly and didn't want to answer. Because what do I know about
enough to speed on the sport bass fishing up
in crivets? Yes, yeah. Oh. Yes.
Well,
so,
you know, Runkle, you'll get there.
You know, we do have a hunting and fishing show. Joel Clayfish, I've confirmed. I think he's adding a co-host.
Yeah, is it Becky?
It is not.
Time on our hands now.
I will offer only this insight. There will be no post-primary reconciliation on the Republican side.
Yeah, since that primary has concluded, has Rebecca Clayfish and Michaels been on stage together?
No.
No.
And
you don't think that will happen?
No.
No. But
I think that primary got very personal when they involved the Clayfish kids, and when the Michaels campaign specifically circulated photos of the Clayfish daughter. I think they crossed some lines that will not allow for reconciliation of the party. I think some lines were crossed. I think there's some bad blood.
Well, I mean, when you put it like that, Cody, it seems like the Wisconsin GOP is in disarray.
I know you've been saying that.
I'm going to keep saying it.
So I have no particular insights. I did request an interview with Rebecca Clayfish. I said I'd be respectful. I'd pick a day when maybe Dom was gone or something. Yeah. But so far it's been declined. I'm not saying say never, but I don't think at this point, and I don't want to betray any friendships, but at this point, let's just say my understanding, there's some bad blood going on.
844-967-2789. We do have some updates on what's going on nationally. The Homeland Security Watchdog, Washington Post piece. Want to get to that, but let's get some callers in while we have some time here right now. Once again, 844-96-PARTY. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, interesting to stay on topic because you brought the Homeland Security Watchdog, the Inspector General there. Apparently, his ass should get canned because he, you know, it was not forthcoming and withheld information for like over a year. I think I just saw reading this afternoon.
Come on, man, you're scooping me. I'm coming to that next.
Never scoop the host, Marker. You'll get cut off. It's a new rule.
New rules as we go. It's like building a plane while it's taking off.
And I do, and it, because I wanted to remain topical, because CJ seems incapable of doing that, even when given fair warning. So I thought I was staying on topic there. And I'm just pitching the ball to you so you can hit it out of the park, because you've got more information.
I mean, topical as in like whatever we discussed during the show in the last 2 hours or so.
We try to restrain ourselves to today's headlines or recent headlines. You know, Fridays, though, catch us on Friday, CJ.
Fridays are free game, and CJ can bring up whatever the hell he's been stewing on all week. That's why they're called airing the grievances, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that, and you guys are doing a good job, and it's interesting that it seems I could probably, you know, that I probably should be better read, but I could probably, you know, chew CJ up and spit out the pieces without working up much of a sweat.
Yes, Mark, you should totally be much more red than you are.
Keep you know, recently,
someday you'll catch up.
Recently, I was listening to the Fine Morning Product on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM. And they talked about the average American self-report. Like, how many books have you even cracked and read one page of in the last year? And the average American, it's like zero. They didn't even bother. I mean, they didn't even crack a book. They don't even lie about, oh, I cracked a couple books, you know. But short vacations, whoever gets to read beyond that, you know, table of contents. Or, you know, no, the average American hasn't even read a book in the last year.
You know, those kinds of stats, I mean, does that include, you know, your online reading? Does that include, you know, books that you can get with your tablet, those kinds of things? Or does it have to be a physical, hard paper copy that you can bend the pages book? Because, you know, we do lots of reading, and I don't do nearly as much as, like, historical or, you know, reading that. I mean, my entertainment is not to go read. I mean, I do that for...
So you are the average American is what you're saying.
No, I mean, I'll crack a couple of books a year. And they're still sitting usually by my bedside, and if I get to them, I get to them. But usually, by that time of night, man, I, you know, wormhole or watching some live music, just trying to calm the mind before I fall asleep, because it's constant input, man. I mean, doing what we do and reading all the stuff, and you know, and then pulling reports, pulling a CBO report, and getting a topic, and drilling down on this and that. I mean, you can wormhole on any sort of, you know, current events thing to the nth degree, right? You've never enough time in the day to read all the information that is out there, and not everything is fit to print. Now, just because you read a book, you know, just because I'm on the cover of some trashy romance novel, doesn't mean that it's worth anything.
Hey, slow down, Fabio. You know, there was a while, especially I got this booker. She calls me from the coast and says, "Oh, I got this author for you, Crudy," and then I feel obligated to read some portion. So I'm counting every one of those. So I've read several books in the last year.
Well, he's cracked them. I mean, you know, you got to prepare yourself for an interview.
Well, you never bother. 844-967-2789.
Table contents, last chapter, baby. I can get there. Give me the cliff notes.
I'm not reading the Mueller report until it's unredacted, Jim. I'll make that confession.
I've read most of it.
Robert Pilot, how you doing, man? Or are you just parked for your fine show coming soon?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, you guys, I can't wait to hear Crute, you do the football play-by-play and the color. I just had to call. I am so, so excited.
Holy I know you're a big baseball guy. We should be talking Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Robert. If you're unfamiliar with Robert's fine work, he's a broadcaster in his own right. I'm Awake Native Roots Radio follows this fine production all across the Civic Media Network. But Robert, yeah, man, I always wanted to be the voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. And if you can't be that, I will be the voice, at least this week, of the Nakusa Papermakers.
Hey, you know when cable access first came out, like in the 80s, I was doing high school football play-by-play, parades, anything to get this
wedding
out there on
bar mitzvahs. Yeah. Oh, we know. We know.
Yeah, we know, man.
Man, I did. I was a sports guy in college. I love covering sports, and I even got a couple of big interviews. Guys like Reggie White and Brett Favre when, you know, he was putting up Hall of Fame numbers for the Packers. But there's only so many ways you can ask the question, how's it feel to win? How's it feel to lose? Did you give 110 or 115% today? You know, there's only so many questions to ask in the forum of sports. And, you know, for me, Robert, politics is my blood sport.
Exactly. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm having Amber Torres, chairman of Walker River Paiute Tribe, on today, and we're going to talk politics down there in Nevada way and all over Turtle Island. And also, I have to remind everyone that Herschel Walker did play for the Minnesota Vikings in his first game on Monday Night Football. His shoe went flying off. And Herschel always talked in the third person. It really bothered a lot of our sports writers here in Minnesota. Oh, wow.
Crudy hates when people do that.
We all,
you know, Trump did that a lot.
Yeah,
they hate Trump. Yep. They hate Trump. They're so unfair.
Well, you guys keep up doing a great job, and I can't wait to hear you do the color and the play-by-play.
I will be a full service, comprehensive broadcaster for you. I may even give you the score like once a half. 844-967-2789. What do you got?
While we're on the sports slash politics conversation, I would throw this one out there because I thought this was a great headline. On ESPN, as reported by the Associated Press, the NBA will be off on Election Day. The league's schedule for the coming season will have all 30 teams playing on November 7th, the night before the midterm elections. The NBA is hoping teams use the night as an opportunity to encourage fans to get out and vote, plus amplify the need for civic engagement. But on November 8th, which is Election Day, no NBA teams have games scheduled. Teams are being encouraged to share election information, such as registration deadlines, with their fans in the weeks leading up to November 8th. A quote from
How excited am I supposed to be that the league is bypassing Tuesday night games?
The scheduling decision came out of the NBA family's focus on promoting nonpartisan civic engagement, encouraging fans to make a plan to vote during midterm elections. All 435 U.S. House seats will be up for grabs on November 8th, along with more than 30 U.S. Senate seats and gubernatorial races. The move is a rarity for the league, which typically plays no games on Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve and tries to avoid scheduling games on the day of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game, often the first Monday of April. It also has a few days off built around the All-Star game, which takes place in February. I think this is great, man. I hope every sports outlet does this kind of thing. This is exactly what we need. We need to get more people engaged. So I think it's a fantastic move. It doesn't cost them anything. They're going to play the games, and they have an opportunity to get people dialed in to motivate them to go vote. This is a fantastic idea, and you should be extremely excited about it, and I hope lots and lots of people react positively. positively to it. I hope they give all sorts of information. They use their Twitter feeds and their personal feeds. I mean, they have a lot of fans out there in the Twitterverse and all the different social media sites that all these players and the league itself can have a big influence on getting people motivated to go out and vote.
Now, Dominic, I've told you, on behalf of Kuchka, we have entered into a Marquette basketball contract to play out Marquette basketball. He's going to have to listen to the stream in Wisconsin Rapids, but he can hear the games on the Civic Media Network. But I've never been a huge fan of the NBA, and we will not carry the Bucks anywhere on the Civic Media Network.
6-6, baby.
Well, you know, that's a whole different sport. Come back with us. Last segment to be a part. 844-967-2789.
Look at the size of that thing.
It is the height of 6 American football fields or 5 Canadian football fields, as if Canadian football really counts.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is the last segment of the day, so if you got something to say, hit us up right now on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones. Dom, Matt from Minneapolis, listening on AM 950. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Matt.
Okay, what do you think about this Christian nationalist movement that is going on in the Republican Party?
Well, Dom's an atheist, so he's not down.
You can imagine how I feel about it, Matt.
I think it's
terrible.
As I will speak as the quote-unquote Christian on the panel, although, you know, my walk with Jesus is, you know, gone astray once or twice. But I will say, Matt, it is a perversion of Christianity. White nationalism is a perversion of Christianity.
And you know, and what's weird, okay, you know, I sent you video of the Dio band and all that rot. Now, a lot of those bands that we play with, like there's Black Eye, tribute to Judas.
Oh, you're our goth guy. I even watched some of that video. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you sharing.
Okay, but a lot of those bands now are Trump thumpers, man. Even the Judas Priest guys. And I said, Rob Halford's gay, man. You know? I mean, how can you be like that? And they're like, well, you know, it's we just do this. You know what I mean? And it's like, my God.
Wait, Matt, you're breaking my heart. You're telling me Rob Halford, the lead singer of Judas Priest, is a Trumper?
No, well, I mean, the guy who plays Rob Halford in the tribute band.
All right, I got you. All right, thank you. I was a little confused there.
That's a small distinction to make.
Okay, yeah, the tribute band lead singer is a Trumpster. No, and now I get it. And what are they, I mean, are they deep Trumpsters, Matt? Or is it just like they like the FU attitude? Or is it simple, or are they into policy? Because I don't know what Trump's policies they would embrace. What is the attraction to your opinion?
For God's sakes, I don't know. I remember when Pantera played in the 7th Street Entry, and I saw them, and this is before Pantera got big, and this DJ played like this parody song about Halford being gay, and this guy was like going, Halford's not gay, and I'm like going, no, he's gay. I almost got my ass kicked in the 7th Street Entry.
Matt, appreciate you listening, man. Yes, strange times when the Rob Halford, say his
tribute
name.
Tribute band. Lead singer, yeah.
Lead singer is completely disrespectful for everything Judas Priest would stand for, except in the case of Donald Trump breaking the law.
breaking the law, breaking the law. You got another thing coming, baby. I mean, and Priest, one of my most favorite all-time bands, man. I mean, when I was a kid, my sister bought me the British Steel cassette tape. And it just, I think that was with Breaking the Law. And, of course, many classics. I got to see Priest when they came around, like, the 30th anniversary tour of that release at Summerfest. One of my greatest concerts at Summerfest at one of the free stages. So love me some metal, of course. Love me some Judas Priest. But, Crudy, the white nationalist Christian thing that's going on right now, and we posted a piece last week and never really got to it conversationally, but it was essentially, you know, a man of God standing up, as you are, Crudy, against what these people claim to be Christianity. And I appreciate that. I still don't believe a word of it, but at least you're standing up and interpreted it as I was taught at the Catholic high school that I went to. Not this weird...
Well, Jesus is half a socialist in the Bible, but that, of course, is not what the white nationalists believe in. They basically take this vengeful God, ends justifies the means, and, you know, it's about really raising up the white race above all others.
Sure, and you're hiding it. You know, what do they say? It's going to come and cloaked in the flag and carrying a Bible. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And as the atheist, I give no quarter for that. I don't give a damn. I don't care what your religion is. You can claim that, you know, the God Thor told you to you know, crap in the Capitol. It would have absolutely no relevance to me, as if God spoke to you or Jesus told you to. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever creation you have in your mind to justify your racist or fascist or authoritarian philosophy, it doesn't matter. You're just being a fascist authoritarian.
Who's leading, in some small part, the white nationalist movement? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
MTG, baby.
And she had some things to say over the course of the weekend, Dom, and I appreciate those that stick around to the end, because this will be a good one to end on. White men, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, white men watch porn because they are the most persecuted identity in the U.S.
I mean, when are white people going to catch a break in this country?
I believe that white men are the most persecuted identity in America, and that's a bold statement to make, but I'll break that down. Let's talk about why white men and young white men in particular are really, you guys are put bottom of the list on so many things. The reason I stick up for white men is I know for a fact that when you guys apply to college, you're put down at the bottom of the list and everyone's allowed to be accepted and admitted into college. And then they finally move on to white men. Green also claimed that the persecution of white men caused them to spend time alone, watching porn and playing video games. Now, you know, earlier in life, Dom, I was informed by you after Bill O'Reilly talked about this porn site, then I mentioned it to you and you said, no, that's not even the good one, Crudy. Go look at this porn site, similar to, let's say, Pornhub. It was something like that. And so anyways, that night, late at night, you know, I'm just finishing up with my book work and I decided to take a look.
Reading some books and decided to take a few minutes off to check, do some research, some internet research.
I was researching and because Dom told me to go look somewhere and I did.
Thank you.
So anyways, I'm looking and, you know, still fully clothed, still, you know, hands above board, all that kind of stuff. But my wife had walked into the room quietly. She's a mousy sort of sort. And anyway, she's like, what are you looking at? And my response was, Dominic! You know, like, I was looking to blame you. So let me give you the real reason.
Yes, yes, please.
According to Marjorie Taylor Greene, through our entire culture, white men are bad. What's that done to your generation and even some of those a little older than you and those definitely younger than you? It's created hopelessness in many of these guys. No one is there for them as they're grown up. They spend hours and hours alone. And you know what that leads to, Dom? Pornhub. Or some variant thereof. But, you know, if the kids at home don't know, I'm not going to tell them. Their buddy Dom will tell them, and then they'll go do a search, and then they'll get caught, say...
You can find anything on the internet. That's why they call it the internet.
Don't blame Dom. Yell out, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Stick around. Native Roots Radio with our friend Robert Pilot is next. And then, Busted Pencils. Educated educators talking education. Keep it locked. Civic Media.